This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we are jumping off into hour two here of LSU Championship Sunday. Welcome in. Along with Amos Morrell III, Tim Zimmer, I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Got to talk a little playoff action in the NFL, man. How about the Titans?
Derrick Henry, what a beast. That's two back-to-back weeks over 180 yards rushing. Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they upset the six-seed Titans, upset the number one-seed Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the postseason. They are off to the AFC Championship game, awaiting the winner of Kansas City and Houston today. I think it's going to be Kansas City that's going to come out victorious over Houston. But, man, the Titans are a story that bears watching, that's for sure. Whenever you can run the football like they can, it seems like they can run against anybody at any time, at any point. And remember now, the Saints beat the Titans and beat them pretty handily, but that was without Derrick Henry in the lineup.
That was kind of like a blessing in disguise for the Titans, because the Saints did beat them and they almost got that first round, first round bye with that win. But the Titans, they won the following week because the Steelers obviously lost back to back games and made the playoffs. So I think that 1 week of rest for Henry has paid off benefits, and he has more touchdown passes right now than Ryan Tannehill. I think Tannehill's thrown for less than 100 yards in both games so far, and it's one old-school football. I don't know if it'll pay off next week, because three road games in the playoffs is a hard thing to do. I think the Giants were the last team to do it, so it's tough.
Tannehill attempted 14 passes yesterday. 14. Like one.
How many rushing attempts for Derrick Henry?
It was over 30.
Yeah, I want to say 30 or 35.
It was 30 carries, 195 yards, and he threw a touchdown pass. Do you guys remember the years when the knock was, man, these Alabama running backs aren't doing great in the pros? Mark first got to the Saints, and Derek, even when he first got to the Titans, the knock was that these guys weren't getting it done, and now look.
One thing I took away from that game was there was five Heisman winners in that game yesterday. You had Robert Griffin, you had Lamar Jackson, you had the two Alabama running backs, and you had Marcus Mariota. That's a lot of talent, that college football talent that was in that game that was being played yesterday, even though only a few of them got on the field.
It certainly is. All right, we'll step away a little early. We're going to have Billy Sims in here, Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma, shortly here on LSU Championship Sunday on WWL. Pleased to be joined by Billy Sims, Heisman Trophy winner, three-time Pro Bowler in the National Football League, and former Oklahoma Sooner. I apologize in advance for LSU beating Oklahoma the way they did.
I don't mind getting beat, but embarrassed. Come on.
So you had a baseball background growing up, right?
Oh, big Cardinals fan, because originally I'm from St. Louis, Missouri by birth. Born there, and back when I was growing up, most inner-city black kids, we played baseball. Because my heroes, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, that's why I wore number 20, because of Lou Brock.
Okay.
Lance Cepeda, Kirk Flood, and I was a left-handed pitcher. And I relocated to Texas, East Texas, and, of course, everybody played football in Texas.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to play baseball.
St. Louis is a huge baseball town.
Huge. Always been. So I'm 64 years old. I'm still a fanatic baseball fan. And, of course, in the state of Texas, everybody played football. So I didn't start playing football until the 10th grade. I thought that was the most craziest game to play. How would somebody want to get hit and beat up? I said, no, I ain't coming out, which I finally did because of my cousins. They say I was too soft and this and that. So my first position, I was starting linebacker because I could run. I ran a 4-4,
yeah.
Catch people, hit the person who had the ball, and I was third string running back, which was okay to me because we was terrible.
Did y'all run the wishbone at Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure did. I'm going to get to that.
Okay. All right.
And so the second game of the season in high school, the two guys in front of me, one was my cousin. He's still mad that they come out. I took his job and all this old crazy stuff. I said, I wish you hadn't got hurt. I wouldn't have had to play running back. And they get hurt, and the rest was history. So out of pure fear, really, I became a running back. So I was so afraid of getting hit it was a whole lot of running and no blocking. Because I would see my cousin on the weekend getting toe up. You know, who want that position?
Hey, but you like his hat? Look at the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, yeah, the trophy.
I love the hat. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. Great fraternity to be in.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Joe Burrow, in that fraternity.
Got another great guy
as a Heisman Trophy winner. What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow in general?
Unreal. Let me tell you, this guy is a player. I just hate he going first round, first pick, because he got to go to the worst team.
Yeah, the Bengals, I know.
I've been there before, trust me. It sounds good till they tell you where you got to go. But he'll be okay. It takes time. I mean, that's the way the system is set up. He's pro ready now. No question about it.
When was the first time you saw him? Was this season? Was it that playoff game?
No. I saw him against Texas. Then I said, LSU finally got a quarterback. Yeah, early part of the year. I knew he was a real deal.
That was kind of the moment where everybody kind of said, LSU means business now.
Oh, yeah,
they're
sure.
In business.
Oh, yeah. That's all I was missing was the quarterback the last several years, you know.
Oh, yeah. The fan base was really nervous leading up to that Texas game, and then he goes out and, you know, not only wins that game but puts on a performance. And that was
he's been putting on one since he's been playing.
Yeah.
But ain't nothing new.
But, I mean, that was I think, really when I think a lot of the LSU fan base –
yeah,
started
yeah.
to believe, all right, well, this team might actually do something.
Well, yeah. You remember after that game, that's when his Heisman Trophy odds went down.
Yeah.
You know, they went down big time after that game because he had one of those – I mean, everybody – every Heisman Trophy winner has their moment, their arrival moment, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had it in that game, but he's had a couple
of
moments.
He's been having it ever since, as far as I'm concerned.
That's true. He's had
several
moments.
We need to give him another one.
You know, watching that Oklahoma game, I was sitting there like, is he trying to win it again? Like, I mean, they gave it to him. Maybe he just wants to make sure it gets mailed to him.
Hey, we was afraid of that. I don't mind getting beat, but being embarrassed, you know, that was, ooh.
What'd you think of his speech, though? That was pretty resounding.
The speech, unreal. Best one I've ever heard since, because I go back every year since 86 when I retired from professional ball, and one of the best speeches there I can remember. No question about it.
As a Heisman Trophy winner, obviously you have a vote, and you don't have to.
Yeah, we get three votes every year.
Yeah.
So yeah, first, second, and third.
Did he get your first place vote?
He got my second place vote.
I wonder who got the first.
You know who got the first. And then my third place was actually the defensive guy.
Chase Young.
Yeah.
From Ohio State.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm surprised outside of think who won it, because he played receiver and
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. You know, it's amazing because they don't say you have to be a, you know, deep offensive guy, defensive whatever. It said the best player. And I'm shocked there hadn't been more defensive guys on this other side of the ball win it.
It seems like every few years you get a guy that gets in the conversation, a defense. Yeah. LSU
Sue,
had
Honey Badger.
Sue in there.
Honey Badger,
Manti Te'o, that ridiculous season he had at Notre Dame.
Yeah, really.
You know,
but everything is quarterback driven now. Offense.
It is.
But you got to have some defense to stop them, you know.
Billy, you played in the Wishbone era. Now it's a spread offense. What do you
think? Yeah.
You think it's very similar?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's something, because see, in the Wishbone, our quarterback was just like a running back, really.
Yeah.
And you see that now in the spread. You know, the quarterbacks are moving around and running. And really, it's a simple offense, the defense, if you got the players. If you ain't got the players, it's going to wear you out. And we were so far advanced in it, because we were built on speed back then. If you wasn't 4-4 or better in the backfield, you wasn't getting back there. And that's why we were so successful. And we had a great defense. We had, because this game we fumbled 15 times and still win because of the defense.
How do you think you would have fared in the spread offense as a running back?
Oh, good. You know, running back do what they do. You know, they're going to run. Matter of fact, when I went to Detroit, the knock on me wasn't a knock because, you know, coaches and always try to find something.
Uh-huh.
You know. Well,
they're always looking to replace you.
Yeah, yeah, that's the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know if I could catch the ball because we never threw. You know, it's third and 40, we running. And making it.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I could catch the ball. I caught one in high school, one in college.
So you were 1,000. You were batting 1,000.
Yeah. In my rookie year, I was second leading receiver on the team because they gave me another weapon I never had. I came out the backfield on routes, mm-hmm. getting a matchup on linebackers and DBs. Man, I loved it. And the way they're doing it now, oh, man.
What do you think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back for LSU?
Oh, he's the real deal. Because I saw him before he got hurt a little bit, but that happens with running back. But, no, he's dangerous.
You think he's
in? The whole team. He's ready for the next level, too.
What do you think about this matchup, LSU and Clemson, in terms of who has the edge?
I think 50-50, man, because their defensive coordinator used to be at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why the fans wanted him to leave. Look at him now. He probably thinking that he left. But anyway, I think LSU may have the edge. I think whoever make less mistakes – gonna end up winning.
Yeah, turnovers are gonna be a big factor in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it's gonna be a dog fight. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, particularly with the way both of these defenses have been playing. You got two, you know, number one overall draft picks at quarterback, and both of them have first round draft picks at wide receiver.
Yep.
First round draft picks at at running back. I mean, Edwards-Helaire is a guy. Yeah.
Let's play on who get tired.
We'll see.
Should be a lot of points. Then again, it could be a sort of a low-scoring game because of the defense. I've seen it go that way with great teams.
Many times have we talked about how, you know, going into games, you got two great offenses. You go, oh, you expect a lot of points, and then it turns out to be a 13-10 game.
10 game. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
It can happen,
certainly. It can happen, for sure.
Hanging out with the great Billy Sims, Heisman Trophy winner and running back at Oklahoma, also played for the Detroit Lions for 4 years, I believe.
Four and a half.
Okay, I don't want to short you out
of
that half.
Yeah, going into my fifth year, that's when I got hurt. Eighth game of the season at Minnesota on turf. Got caught on the turf, my knee and stuff, and I rehab, trying to come back too fast, and I end up retiring in 86.
So you had an ACL?
Yeah, and ligaments and nerve damage. The problem was I was trying to come back too fast. Instead of letting it.
Yeah, the advancements they've made.
Totally different now. Like, yeah. You remember Adrian Peason when he tore his?
Right.
He's back the next day. Seemed like it.
Man, still playing.
Still playing.
And that year, the year he had after the ACL, I think he won the NFL MVP the following year.
I think it was. I believe so.
I mean, he had.
Yeah,
he had.
No, like, Adrian.
He had some ridiculous amount of numbers that year following that ACL injury. Billy,
Without a doubt, the
national championship game in general. Do you want a lot of talk's been about expanding the playoff format? Do you want to see it expand from 4 to 6, 4 to 8?
I think it will eventually. You know, get to 6-8, because there's some other teams that possibly should deserve to get in there. So, yeah, I like to see it go a little bigger. Of course, you know, it's bottom line, it's all about the money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. It's always about what they can sell, what they can sponsor, how many television rights they can get.
Well, look at how many bowl games we got now.
Too many.
No, exactly.
Well, I was
the Tweeter Bowl, the Bird Bowl. You just make up some.
I you know, kind of wouldn't mind going down to that Bahamas Bowl, though.
I'm do that.
You heard it here.
Not worth snoring.
Amos wants LSU to be in the Bahamas Bowl next year. So.
Might have to do some conference realignment for that to happen.
Used to going to the Pro Bowl and you be in Hawaii. I don't even know why they ever had it, because guys ain't trying to get hurt. They're there for enjoyment.
Yeah, take the free vacation.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Billy, what's your favorite thing about college football today?
Well, the fan base, the atmosphere. Even it's been 40-something years since I played. The fans never forget you. Even I tailgate most of the time around the stadium. I never go inside. I hang out with the fans. Free food and drinks. They think I'm coming to see them.
Your mom raised you right. Whenever you can get free food and free drinks.
Yeah, they'd be shocked. They see me. Hey, come on down. Yeah, because you got about 10,000 people that can't get in.
So you were saying you got six kids and seven grandkids.
Got a new granddaughter 2 months ago. Yeah, so I'm just loving it.
You strike me as a guy that spoils them rotten.
I'll tell you what I did one time. At my house, I had the lower ceiling fan, big out in the garage, and I lowered it where they could get on it and swing, you know, going.
Oh, wow.
But I put padding and, you know, all that up underneath just in case they fall or whatever.
Of course.
And every time they come on, they want to go swing. I said, okay, let's go. Well, I forgot to tell their parents that they like to go swing.
Oh, oh no.
So they go home?
Yep.
Did your kids call you and be like, what are you doing, Dad?
Yeah.
Where did you learn this behavior?
Yeah, exactly. They got on me about that. I said, well, they do it at my house. We ain't doing it over here.
That's the thing about grandparents. You guys can get away with you can
anything.
Do that stuff.
And yeah.
All right, now go back to your mom and dad's house.
Let them deal with it.
Yeah. Get them jacked up, send them home.
So you got seven. So boy, girl, how many?
Half and half, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Sweet. Bringing them up as Sooners fans?
You know it. You know I am.
So got to be exciting for you these last few years. You know, for LSU, it's a new thing to have an elite quarterback. But for you guys, it seems like these last few years.
At least y'all had defense. We didn't know what defense looked like.
I mean, you guys
like.
Went from Baker Mayfield
to Kyler Murray,
now Jalen Hurts.
Got a really good one coming up, Spencer Rattler, highly touted coming out of high school. You just have all the luck with the
That's
QBs.
That's fine, but in the state of Oklahoma, we're concerned about the defense. Have been for a few years. That's been our problem. They got to get on top of that.
What's your impressions of Lincoln Riley?
Oh, great coach, offensive mind coach. Yeah. I'm just glad Jerry didn't start talking to him again.
Jerry Jones, yeah.
Yeah. And usually what happens when you hear those rumors, the price go up in the college.
Of course. He uses that as leverage. Hey, Oklahoma.
They do.
The Cowboys are calling
they
me.
They do.
What's up this price?
It happens. But, Lincoln, I'm glad they hired him when Coach Stoops stepped down. Cause if not, he'd have been somewhere else.
Sure.
Quick, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, definitely looks like it's working out there. You know, all the QBs want to go play for y'all.
Oh, yeah, they're
going to
throw the ball.
You're landing, like, top
ball.
Guys on the offensive side.
Yeah. Defense. Of course, the Big 12 is known for not playing defense. So, you know, maybe that's something had something to do with it. Who knows?
You missed those those Red River rivalry games, though, when being in that –
That atmosphere? Oh, yeah. But I'm always now, either I'm there or doing something around it. Because I'm in the barbecue restaurant business. I do a lot of business with the Native Americans there in Oklahoma. Because they have all the casinos. So I'm usually involved in that during the specialty OU weekend. Yeah.
How often have you come to New Orleans?
Boy, I hadn't been here in probably about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's vastly different than after Katrina.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I had a lot of friends down here that was involved in that. And a lot of them still live in the Dallas and Houston area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your impressions of the city?
Great city so far. I mean, it's always, when you say New Orleans, we looking for the food. That's for sure.
It's a quintessential place to host an event like this, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like New Orleans is almost born to host big games, college football playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Championship games, the semifinals,
right,
Super Bowls.
Right.
It's just
it's
a tailor-made city.
It's tailor-made. That's right.
When you consider, you know, the hospitality, everything's within walking distance. I mean, you can be staying downtown and you can walk right to the game.
I could have walked over here. I don't know why they got up sent me a car to get here. I could have walked over here.
You get that celebrity treatment. Don't argue with it.
You know, I learned a long time ago when you put titles in front of people's names, responsibility come with it. So just call me Old Bill. Don't put nothing in front of my name.
All right, as he said, Old Bill, Billy Simmons here on LSU Championship Sunday. It's our pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
No, likewise. Thanks for having me. Had a good time.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Amos Morrell, the third, Tim Zimmer, along with Billy Sims, just wrapped up the Heisman Trophy winner. This is LSU Championship Sunday here on WWL. Back here on LSU Championship Sunday, Tim Zimmer, Amos Morrell III. I'm Christian Garrick. To the phones we go. Line one, we find Diane. Go ahead, Diane. You're on WWL.
Yeah, like I said, this just run me the wrong way with this headline about Clemson dominates in bold black letters, but LSU has the edge on the field, but in academic rankings, then they have Clemson dominates. It's like, is this the right time to bring this up?
Well, I mean, it's just another aspect and angle to a game. I mean,
I know, it just
I don't really care
the
about when
way.
It's brought up. The facts are the facts, and Clemson does have the edge when it comes to the classroom. So what? I mean,
yeah. So what? I mean, why did they have to make an issue of it and bring it up and put it on the front page of the Advocate?
Again, it's an angle to
the game. You know, it's like because, I mean, everything's LSU, of course, in the paper. What do you expect? You know, so, I mean, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, well, sorry that it did, but, I mean, it's another angle to the game, Diane. And ultimately, you know, you can focus on what you want to focus on, and that is the matchup in general. But, you know, sometimes in the media, we like to focus on a couple of other things tied into the matchup.
I know, but it doesn't have to be on the front page, okay?
Yeah. I'm
going to get in touch
editor.
With this.
I'm not the editor for the Advocate, so you know, I can't help you.
Believe me, I will get in touch with this staff writer, Will Sentel. I don't know if you know him.
Nah, I don't.
S-E-N-T-E-L-L.
I know of him. I don't know him.
Yeah, is he a local base here in New Orleans?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to call the Advocate because I'd like to give him a piece of my mind.
All right, Diane, you do that. Have a good day. All right.
You got some heat coming at
Yeah. I mean, for simply stating that Clemson has the edge in the classroom, I mean, ultimately, I think that who cares at this point in terms of, you know, the matchup. And, okay, fine. There's a lot of other schools that are better than LSU academically. That doesn't mean LSU is not a good school academically. But they're not. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, LSU doesn't boast themselves as this academic power, as this, you know, this awesome, you know, institution of learning. They're very good. I mean, they're a very good college, but they're not a top tier one educationally programmed school.
I mean, I got an LSU, so there you go.
Well, I mean,
hey, Tim, don't knock our degrees.
I mean, you're an LSU degrees. Grad as well.
I sure am. Sure am.
I was a Rummel grad though, so you can take it.
Well, Tim, don't. I mean, you've got some family in the legislature too, right? Like, wasn't there some?
Some strings may have gotten pulled.
I'm kidding, Tim.
I do not know anybody in the legislature.
Let's get back.
I was pretty high in my class, though. I will say, all things considered,
you were pretty high in your class. You were ranked pretty high in your class.
Yeah, overall, at Rummel.
Academically.
I mean, yeah, we did. I mean,
at Rummel.
At Rummel, though, so not Jesuit.
I see what you did there. I think it went over his head, but I think I see what you did there.
Yeah. I know how to count to 7, 14.
You caught it?
Yeah, I caught it.
I knew how to count to 7, 14, 21, 28. Like, we were good.
I got you. All right, let's get back to the matchup, LSU and Clemson. We've talked about the experience. What we want to talk about now is how significant the dome field advantage is going to be for LSU. It's going to be probably a 70% pro LSU crowd. I don't know who President Trump is pulling for, but nonetheless, 70%.
Himself.
Yeah. Maybe so. Donald likes him some Donald.
Whoever's going to make the best picture for him to put on Twitter later.
Yeah.
That's who he's pulling for.
So LSU is going to have the home field advantage. How big of an impact do you think that'll have?
Oh, I got to think that's going to be a huge one for him. I mean, you know, when you go to a neutral site game, I did finger quotes for everybody listening. You go to a neutral site game, you're going to – Your fans are going to be loud. I mean, I was at the Peach Bowl in the semifinal, and, you know, when they dropped those 7 touchdowns and those 49 points on Oklahoma in that first half, you could tell the Sooner fans were out of it. It was pretty much an LSU home game at that point. Even though the stands were pretty, you know, half and half, you know, the Sooner fans were kind of out of it. They were like, what is happening to us? So I think, you know, having the game so close, I mean, you see it with the ticket prices, what they were going for. You know, thousands in the upper
1500s in the 600 level.
Yeah, so I mean, you know that, like, that's the LSU fans driving that price up because they're the ones that are really trying to snag these tickets. You know, because again, how often do you get to see your Heisman Trophy winning quarterback play in a national championship game? I mean, this, you know, LSU's played in some 2012 was the last championship game they played in, but even then, there was nobody on that team even close to threatening for Heisman. That was just a really good team. This is one of those, like, you know, lightning in a bottle seasons. So I definitely think that home field advantage is going to be a key thing. And, you know, Dabo joked about it yesterday. It'd be like us playing in Greenville.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it back at the championships LSU's playing in all of, this is their fourth one in New Orleans. If you go back to 2001 when they played Illinois in the Sugar Bowl, LSU's 6-1 in that Mercedes-Benz Superdome since then. The only loss was the championship game to Alabama. So I think LSU definitely has an advantage as far as playing so close to home, and I think the crowd noise is going to help. Now, the one thing Dabo did mention was when they went into the Fiesta Bowl 2 weeks ago, they played against Ohio State. And Ohio State, they said, had about 80% to 20% Ohio State fans. They travel well. So Dabo said he's used to the crowd noise. He doesn't think it's going to be a factor. But I kind of think LSU and the crowd noise is going to be a factor, especially early on, if LSU gets ahead early. Now, if Clemson, if they want to cancel that, they get the early lead, I think the crowd noise starts to go away, kind of like what you see in NFL games.
Tim, you wrote about this, the matchup in terms of LSU's offense versus Clemson's defense, Clemson's offense versus LSU defense. I want to focus on LSU for a minute on the offense. What kind of goes unnoticed or untalked about quite often is, yeah, they put a lot of pressure on your defense, right? Because they score. They have 67 drives this year that are under 3 minutes, scoring drives that are under 3 minutes. They've punted the ball just 40 times out of 999 offensive plays. And what doesn't get talked about enough is the pressure they put on the opposing offense as well, because you have to keep up and that you have to match them. And if you don't, all of a sudden you find yourself down 14 points before you can even blink.
Yeah, I think this is where the key to the game is. I think it's the Clemson defense versus Joe Burrow in the offense, because Brett Venables, his team this year is blitzing more than any Clemson team he's had under them. He's blitzed a ton. That's the way they make up, because Clemson lost those three defensive linemen in the NFL draft last year. You had Wilkins, you had Farrell, and you had that other, I don't know the other guy's name, but you had three first-round picks all in the top 20. They don't have that this year, so that pass rush that Clemson's going to have to get towards Burrow, it's going to be similar to what you saw against Auburn, because Auburn was the one team that kind of, and Mississippi State had the defensive lineman as well, to kind of neutralize that offensive line.
Clemson doesn't have it, though.
They can play
that 3-3-5 all they want.
They have a key. They have a really good offense. They have a really good defensive lineman who's a freshman, but that's about it. So I'm interested to see how Clemson sends their blitzes and gets pressure to Burrow, because Burrow, his quarterback, rating is like 212 when he's blitzed this year.
Best in the country. Yeah, and he's 78% completion percentage against the blitz. I mean, how many times have we seen it where they'll run that zone, that read option, right, and they'll have a blitzing linebacker and they're throwing it right where the vacating linebacker is.
Yeah.
Blitzing is not a good idea against this LSU offense.
Well, and that's one of the things that makes Clyde so valuable to this team is, he's a guy that you can rely on to be in the right spot and make, some difficult catches.
If Brett Venables is going to sit back there and play a 3-3-5, LSU's going to run on that all day long.
Well, you saw that in the Auburn game. LSU struggled because they saw a new defense for the first time. And what LSU did eventually in the second half was run Clyde, run the ball, and just that's how they were moving the ball. Because what they did is they sent three pass rushers and they just left everybody out in the secondary. And Oklahoma actually tried to mimic that early in the game against LSU, and you saw the 7 touchdowns in the first half. If you send three pass rushers, Joe Burrow's going to have all day. So, or if not, you're just going to run the ball up the middle. So it's interesting to see what they do with their blitz packages this game, because if Joe Burrow is sitting back there and he has 5 guys to throw to, I mean, pick your poison. He has that. He has Clyde out of the backfield. He has 3 LSU receivers. There's so many options Joe Burrow has.
The problem is that you can't play man against them effectively because of their weapons, Jamar Chase and Jefferson. It's just their tough man matchups. They're going to find the matchup that best suits them if you're going to play man. They're going to formation you to death to where they get the advantage. And then if you play zone and you rush 3, you're giving way too much time to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and I think the biggest key as far as a player that I think Thad Moss is going to have, one him and Terrace Marshall, I think those two guys, they're going to have to be big factors in this game, because I think they're going to try to lock down Jefferson and Chase, and I think Clyde out of the backfield is going to have his. But I think one of those two other options, I think one of those guys is going to have a big game. Terrace Marshall, yeah. I mean, he had the touchdown and one of the touchdowns in the Peach Bowl, I think, before he got injured. So he had a big game earlier this year too when Jefferson and Chase were not out. So it's kind of hard. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who Clemson attacks and which way it goes.
I got to tell you, man, Oklahoma tried to take Chase out of that game, and Justin had 4 touchdowns and a half. Like, it's one of those things. You got to pick your poison. And I think that's one of the things that gives LSU an advantage here. A lot of the teams that they're playing can go maybe 2-3 deep at wide receiver with, pro guys, NFL guys. I mean, even Clemson right now, Justin Ross and T. Higgins, those are NFL guys.
Uh-huh.
But you get past that, you're just not working with the same depth, and that's one of those reasons I keep saying that, like, everything just sort of seems to be lining up for this team You know, this, they've got depth at you know, receiver, running back. Their offensive line is playing, you know, some of the best we've seen from an LSU offensive line in years. You know, the defense is coming around. You know, Kalavon Chaisson is finally, you know, kind of, it seems like he's really coming to his own in these last few games, despite, you know, the fact that he was having a pretty good season before. It's just one of those things where, you know, it just seems like everything is lining up for this to be the year LSU wins the championship.
You'll know who they're going to try to take out early, because Isaiah Simmons, the Buckus Award winner, he was a former safety, so he can cover not only blitz, but he can cover in coverage. So if he's covering Justin over the middle, I'm used to those other Jeffersons. If he's going to cover Justin over the middle, then that leaves Chase and at least Terrace wide open otherwise.
Big time Tim Zimmer, Amos Morrell III, Christian Garrick. It's LSU Championship Sunday live from Audio Avenue at the Sheridan on Canal here on WWL. A list online at WWL.com of the Secret Service list of things you cannot bring to the game tomorrow, the national championship game between LSU and Clemson. And don't forget, no drones. All right, can't bring your drones to the game. As if I wake up on game day mornings and go, yeah, you know what? I want to bring my drone to this game.
Is that like a thing? I understand drones are getting more accessible, but even in outdoor stadiums, is that a thing that like the photographers are really bringing?
They want that aerial shot. But I do think drones are becoming very popular among like young boys. I think you've seen a lot of drone like toys that kids are getting now, and I think that's becoming more popular.
You think we'll see a day where we're watching an NFL game and there's just a layer of drones?
Instead of the sky cam?
Instead of the sky cam, there's just
drone cam.
Drone cam.
And it's an outdoor stadium, too.
I know that at those recruiting camps that, you know, the kids are going to, the Nike camps, you see a lot of drones flying around those, but, you know, that's Nike.
NFL stadium. I mean, NFL practices where they have the sky cam mm-hmm. with the practices with the guys filming on those big cranes. I mean, you could see drones now just filming practice. I probably already do it already.
Yeah, that's
no good. Bicycles either, okay? No balloons? I know you like balloons, Amos.
Teddy's not going to be coming to the game then.
No. Teddy's probably not going to ride his bike to the game.
The balloons thing is really killing me, man.
No selfie sticks. Tim's disappointed about that.
It's cool. I know some people. They've got long arms. We'll get you, Tim. We'll get you all the photos you
need. I got to get everybody in the group pick.
The full list is online for you at WWL.com. Sam on line one. Go ahead, Sam. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Good to hear Tim co-hosting with you. Hopefully we'll get some more of that in the in-between seasons. I can't call it off-season anymore. Amos also. I follow him as a writer. He's a great writer, but he's excellent on radio, too. And not all your writing people can transition into that. So I appreciate y'all on. Enjoyed Ian Fitzsimmons immensely yesterday. He's great with Freddie Coleman when I could get the signal, hint, hint. But also Billy Sims. I met him through work when they did that Heisman commercial, all right? And your interview, that's who he is. And it's amazing how down to earth these legends are. It really is. The ones that cut up are the nobodies that haven't done anything. I have a couple of questions about LSU's health. So, offensive line and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I understand he's been full practice, but how's his health and how's the health of the offensive line?
Well, you know, the offensive line is actually, with the exception of Damian Lewis, this is probably the healthiest they've been all season. And, you know, Ed Orgeron says he's expecting Damian Lewis to play. So probably even, you know, you're going to see that offensive line at full strength. And, you know, the guys have all been getting a lot of snaps. So they've built a lot of depth in that unit. And then as far as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, yeah, he's been fine. He's been practicing, you know, with no limitations pretty much since the bowl game. You know, they've had him out there. Obviously, a lot of the team got rest following the bowl game. But, you know, the week leading up, no limitations for Clyde. He's, you know, going to be ready to go.
Sam, thanks for the phone call and thanks for the kind words. Yeah, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire played in, what, 4 snaps, I think, against Oklahoma in the semifinal
game. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris
Curry.
It was
the Joe Burrow show.
Well, and then Chris Curry just decided, like, hey.
I can run the ball, too.
Yeah, after that red shirt year, I'm ready. Like,
he was
go.
Waving, hey, I'm over here. I can play. And
well,
we saw that.
It's funny. That's literally what Ed Orgeron said. Like, he was the 4th string back. Then about 2 weeks before the bowl game, you know, once Clyde started getting banged up, you know, all of a sudden Chris was like, all right, next man up, that's going to be me. He said in those practices leading up to the bowl game, when the type of runs they were going to be calling, they thought, you know, the coaches came to him game day and said, hey, Chris Curry is the guy. Like, we should go with him. And, you know, Curry even said, like, I when I touched it, I knew I was going to be ready. Like, I wasn't going to make him take me out of the game.
Yeah, he's a violent runner, man.
I think that rest that LSU got between the two games was important here because getting those injuries, those guys healthy now is big.
Amos Morrell III, Tim Zimmer, Christian Garrick, we continue on LSU Championship Sunday right here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.